false gods don't work. They multiply sorrows. They heap sorrow upon sorrows. But then he says, but now I'll show you fulfillment. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. This is where I find life. This is where I find vitality. This is where I find joy. And where I feast on that which is really going to provide me life. God is my provision portion. God is my sufficiency cup. God is my daily bread. God has my life in His hands.
Hi, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're thankful, as always, that you've joined us here today. Today's message from Pastor Robbie is in the middle of a series on some foundational psalms, and it takes us to Psalm 16, and specifically to a message on satisfaction. Hey, what satisfies you today? Is it the relationships that you have? Is it the stuff that you own? Is it the food that you eat? Is it the size of your bank account? Is it the vacations you dream of? Or is it even that hot cup of coffee you might have in your hand right now? I think we can agree that those things enjoyed with measure are good, and God wants us to enjoy them. But the problem comes when we try and find the ultimate satisfaction in those things. God's Word explains more to us today, so let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie with today's message from Psalm 16, Start Here to Be Satisfied.
You know, cool story. I remember when I was first saved, I was returned to Laurier University, and I was there for another semester, and I was lit up for Jesus. I joined the Campus Crusade for Christ ministry at that time, but it was just starting up, so it was like just a little small group, like four or five people. And there was this younger guy there that's probably a couple years younger than me, but just seemed such a sincere heart and just so friendly. And almost took me under. I knew nothing. I was so hungry to grow. Just wanted to learn about Jesus and be anywhere I could to be in fellowship with others. And this younger guy, a couple years younger again, he just was so friendly and kind, and he knew more about the Bible than I did, and he taught me and all stuff. And it was, I remember so well this individual. And wouldn't you know it, it was like, how many years later, 10, 12 years later, his name was Chris Shipley, and he is now the associate pastor of Harvest Brampton. That was our first church plant, all right? And here's a picture of Pastor Chris on the screen right here, all right? And isn't that so cool that there he was, and he had more hair back then and no beard, all right? But to be there and just sit there and just feel the delight and the love of what the Lord brings, it truly is satisfying. It's what Jesus has died for to bring about in our lives. And you know, I love right now too, and also I could go around this room right now, I could pick out dozens, if not hundreds of people and say, I can genuinely say that I have delight in knowing that you love God and how that has impacted me in one way or another over these years that we've been in ministry together. That's the grace of God. It is so beautiful. And it is so, and you know you're not getting that in the world. You know you're not. You know, you're not in the same way, man. You cannot duplicate supernatural Holy Spirit relationship. Trust me, I get it. We don't always get along. I get that. But in the heart of it all, wow, when it's right and there's a sense of the Lord working, it is so beautiful. Again, missing the relationship of vertical and then horizontal. And I felt led this week to bring this quote back out for you because I want you to see it. This is back from a year ago right now. For some of you who are not connected to the body of Christ, okay, I guarantee you, you are outside of God's will because God's word tells us that, right? You cannot fulfill God's will for your life without being connected to his church. It's impossible. If you're not connected to the body of believers, you are not guaranteed in God's will. Take that as a serious challenge. Again, there's no promises of perfection on this side of heaven. But that's the whole point. We need each other to love each other. So, question, do you have a genuine love for God's people? Do you love other Christians? Do you seek their company? Here's another question. Are you okay with hanging out with evil? Are you at ease among open sin? Doesn't bother you? These are problems, okay? Are you right now dabbling in forms of darkness? Are you dabbling in relationships that are about to kill you? seriously hurt you? Are you dabbing in activities, lusts, stuff that's just, it won't satisfy for a moment and then it's gone. And then the guilt and the regret and the self-inflicting punishment and tormenting mind. Been there. It stinks. Hear me. We love the lost 100%. Absolutely. We love the lost, that we will never be satisfied with the evil of the world. Isn't that beautiful, though? That part of our satisfaction here is that we delight in God's saints. God, help us to see that grow. Start here to be satisfied. I depend on the Lord. I will delight in his saints. Thirdly, this, I am distinctly content. You want to be satisfied? This, I then am distinctly content. Now, I love this point because it's right here. The heart of this entire message is found, and therefore the heart of true satisfaction. Now, look at verse 5 now. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, but even as I read these verses, I'm just all of a sudden just in a better mood, you know? I did a pleasant places and beautiful inheritance and chosen portion. And all of a sudden it feels, I mean, you read verses 5 and 6 over and over. Here's some more homework for you this week. I mean, it's hard to be grumpy when you do that. I mean, try it. Just stare at it, look at it, say it out loud, speak it over your life, and the pleasant places, and again, the beauty and the inheritance that God has given to us. Again, it's hard to stay kind of miserable in that place. And notice that David has just finished explaining the futility of idols, the worthlessness of worldly pursuits or false gods, and now he moves on to fulfillment. See that? So he's like, false gods don't work. They multiply sorrows. They heap sorrow upon sorrows. But then he says, but now I'll show you fulfillment. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. This is where I find life. This is where I find vitality. This is where I find joy and where I feast on that which is really going to provide me life. God is my provision portion. God is my sufficiency cup. God is my daily bread. God has my life in his hands. Really, these verses in some ways summarize John Piper's statement for his entire ministry. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Hear that? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. You are my chosen portion, O God. You are my cup. You are the one I want to drink from in this life. You hold my lot, meaning you set my boundaries. You determine the lines of my life. They may not be the lines I would have chosen, but they are guaranteed in the end. If I can't see it now, there's a day soon I will see it. They are the most pleasant lines I could have ever imagined, because eternity will make all these things be clear. But even now, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the pain, the most profound joy is often seen as beauty comes up from the ashes. Beautiful inheritance. I am distinctly content because I am distinctly a child of God, separate from the rest of the fallen world. Notice these verses are dripping with contentment. Dripping with fulfillment. You can almost feel David's satisfaction here. And this is our God. Listen, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in want. When the Lord is my shepherd, I need nothing else. When the Lord is seen for all he is, there's nothing else I need. So consider the fragrance of contentment flowing through the air of our world. The fragrance of contentment right here in these verses, and then interacting with the air, the pollution of our world, the lies of our world, and our world is massively filled with discontentment. It's everywhere. Are you unfulfilled in your marriage? That's a vertical problem. So I feel like feel like moving on. I feel like something younger. I feel like, you know, it's not giving me what I need. No. You got a theological messed up thinking right there, okay? It's a vertical problem. Your dependence on the Lord and your satisfaction in Him impacts every relationship in your life. And not one relationship is more important than the one that you are married to. I'm telling you, you see this over and over and over again. And when you give your heart to the Lord, you depend on Him and you call out to Him, you are my chosen portion and you are my cup. You see the overflow of that cup filtered down on mind and heart and affections, and you can, with all honesty and legitimacy, look over at your spouse and the Lord will start to supernaturally give you a change of heart and feeling and love that is only produced by Him that turns your whole world upside down in the best way possible. An unfulfilled marriage, ultimately, I am not discounting the different situations. Trust me, I've been in pastoral ministry for long enough to know, okay? But the ultimate answer, and the one who never lets us down, it's a vertical problem. And you pursue the vertical, and the horizontal is always, always impacted. And behind this, discontentment is a rampant, sinful selfishness that puts us at the top of the pyramid, and all we want is to fulfill the desires that we think need to be met. That won't work. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-Bible. It will not satisfy. God, help us to have enough humility right now to understand how wrong we can be and to repent of our sin and to trust You as opposed to self. Discontentment, it's a huge problem. Here's a poem written by a 14-year-old boy. 14 years old, he says this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. It's always a matter of just stopping long enough to say, what am I doing with my life? And why am I doing it? Am I chasing after the wind? You see what's happening here? The Bible says, followers of Christ, we are to be distinctly content. Because we have Jesus. This is why Paul could say in Philippians 3:8, I count all things as loss when compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. You see what's happening right there? It would say, Paul, how can you say that? Because he sees his treasure. His treasure is Christ. He stumbled upon the parable of the hidden treasure. He uncovers the treasure. It is the greatest worth he could ever imagine. When you are holding the greatest worth you can ever imagine, everything else in life is seen for what it is. Less than the treasure. And Paul even says it's as dung. This is the key to satisfaction. This is where life is to be lived. So we're not looking for the next fix, loved ones. We're not looking for the next high. Why? Because as the phrase has been coined, there's no high like the Most High. And that was a great spot for an amen, right? And you can use that too because it's fun to say. And it's really true. There's nothing like being in the presence of Almighty God. Again, look at verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Loved ones, look here. The ways of the world doesn't work. It doesn't work. It multiplies sorrow. Young people, your generation has to step up and shine the light in a new direction away from that which is false and lies. We are called to understand again where satisfaction is found. It's found in the Lord. Start here to be satisfied. Point number 4, I'm devoted to His truth. I'm devoted, true is truth. Look at verse 7. I'm going to be brief here because this is really last week's message in some ways. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Oh, this is good. Maybe it won't be so brief. I don't know. We'll see. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. What I want you to see here is this, okay? Notice the theological sequence in verses 7 to 8, okay? The counsel of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, instructs the heart of David, okay? God's truth instructs his heart. The mind instructs the heart. Then notice, then the instruction causes David to set the Lord always before him. And then the result of that is David will not be shaken. Let's go through this visually right here. You know, we love to do this together. I love this as much as anyone, okay? This is what's happening here, okay, in verses 7 and 8. God's truth instructs my heart. Again, this is why Bible's open in our lives. I need this. I got to take my spiritual shower, my mind to be renewed, because it instructs my heart. And then my heart says, set the Lord before you. God's word, the Holy Spirit, you see the Lord. And when you see the Lord, then you will not be moved. This is what's happening. You know who you are. You know why you're here. You know where you stand. You know where you're going, okay? And when this process happens, then this happens next, okay? This equals satisfaction. This leads to this. When you're in this place and you're seeing the Lord and you know, I shall not be moved even in the midst of my trial and pain, but still the satisfaction reigns so deep. Because it's what the Lord does and it's who the Lord is. I'm devoted to his truth. So this past week, I opened a Bible book and I was reading to my girls. They're sweet. And I was reading the Bible book to the girls and this story, we're just kind of going systematically through this book. And it was on John 21. It was when the fire and the fish in the boat and then the charcoal fire and Jesus approaches Peter and restores Peter. And I'm in season, there's rarely been so much opportunity and responsibility and to be honest, between pastor and people, pretty overwhelmed at times. Next few weeks, never had one like it. And I'm reading this to the girls, you know, reading to the girls and they're kind of listening, but then all of a sudden God starts speaking to you. So I have this children's Bible book and all of a sudden Jesus is like, hey, Peter, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And in the midst of being overwhelmed, the truth of God's word in this sense starts to speak to my heart. And I'm like, Robbie, you feed my sheep. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. And so I'm telling the story to the girls and asking some questions, but all the while my own heart is really being impacted by this. And went to bed that night and I got up the next morning, opened John 21. I just read it. And I got up early, and I tell you, like, being overwhelmed and saying, Lord, I got to feed your sheep these next couple weeks. You got to really help me do this. And I'm telling you, before 7 a.m. that morning, I got more work done than I normally would by about 11:30 in the morning. And you sit there, and you're like, I'm so satisfied in God. And he speaks to you, and he instructs your heart, and he fills you with faith, and he tells you, in my case, feed my sheep, I'm with you. And then you feel a satisfaction upon your life. And it all starts from his counsel, instructing your heart. And then understanding, I will not be shaken because my God is so good. I beg God, this is all of our experiences. That time and time again, day after day, we are finding our God so faithful in what he promises to do and who he promises to be. Start here to be satisfied. Point 5. I remember my deliverance is guaranteed. You want to be satisfied? Remember where you're headed. Remember that you're saved. Look at verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Okay. The therefore in verse 9, notice it's there because David knows he will not be shaken. Okay, you see that? So when you see therefore, you're drawing, why is it there? Why? Where's it coming from? It's there because David, I won't be shaken. So therefore, because I won't be shaken, therefore, David says, he knows the Lord, his with him. Notice this. Therefore, my heart is glad, satisfied. My whole being rejoices, satisfied, because I won't be shaken in the Lord. Notice also in verse 9 that insecurity is fleeing, right? My flesh also dwells secure. How many of us are here right now? We are plagued with insecurity. Yes, this is probably most immediately a physical security, but of course it translates to spiritual security. How many of us plagued with constantly trying to be something for other people, where our value goes up and down based on other people's opinions of us? Well, that's not God's will. Now, why is his flesh secure? Here's why, because the gospel is coming. You see that? The gospel is about to be unfolded, and that's where the ultimate security comes from, because you can't touch the child of God saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Here comes the gospel. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Now, without a doubt, verse 10 has direct prophecy to Jesus Christ. 100%. How do we know that? Because in Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes this verse relating exactly to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here we see the unity of the Bible, the beautiful, holy, spirit-inspired book. Here is David. Okay, watch this. I love it so much. Here is David 1,000 years before Christ arrives on earth, and he prophesies the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. 1,000 years before Jesus is there. Then you have Peter, 1,000 years after David, give or take a decade or two, right? Standing up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he pieces God's word together. And the prophecy of David 1,000 years before, and then Peter stands out filled with the Holy Spirit and brings all of the unity of the Bible together and says that Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, this was promised by David in Psalm 16. I love that so much, that Jesus being raised from the dead was the death of death in the death of Christ. Death died with the death of Christ and was fully defeated and conquered as Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, what I love about this, David is prophesying about Jesus who will be raised from the dead, and yet it's this Jesus, when he is raised from the dead, is the source of David being raised from the dead in eternal life. And so the prophecy of Jesus being raised from the dead is the key to victory for David, as Peter is declaring this prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He himself is declaring victory in Jesus Christ, because he too will not die. And therefore, every single believer who's alive in Jesus Christ, because David prophesied it, because Jesus Christ lived it, and because Peter said it was fulfilled, all of us now are guaranteed spiritual victory and resurrection in Jesus Christ because of what he did, okay? That is awesome. This is the Bible, right? So where does my satisfaction come from? You're feeling like I am right now. Even now, you're like, it just feels good, doesn't it? Because it's true, and because it's right, and because it's Jesus, and because he's beautiful, because he's awesome, and there's no one like him. And so this is why I say, when you see verses like this and you know that by God's grace, you are part of this equation, today's another good day. It just is. It doesn't matter what's happened. I've preached this 1,000 times and I'll preach it 10,000 more if God lets me. It doesn't matter where your life is at. In Christ, you have everything you need. That's what makes today another great day. In Christ alone. Here's what the gospel does, okay? No guilt in life, no fear in death. And that phrase right there, that is just, no guilt in life, no fear in death? Man, the world wishes it could say that. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands. See, satisfy my destiny. And I've italicized and bold that because that's our final point in just a couple seconds. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. I mean, just like, where are you getting this other than Jesus Christ? Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Satisfaction. This leads us to our final point. I know my destiny is certain. Look at verse 11. One of my favorite verses in the Psalms, right here. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a verse. Notice the Holy Spirit English version alliteration in here. Notice three P's. They're already here. Ready? Path, presence, pleasure. Path of life, presence. The presence of the Lord. You get on God's path, you know his presence. No greater pleasure. And all of this, loved ones, these three P's, one more P, lead to perfection forevermore. This is where life is lived. This is where life is lived. The path of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the pleasure of God the Father to call you his child, leading us on the road to perfection one day. We will see him one day so soon. Notice in this verse 2, you make known to me, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, all of these things are only found in one person. God Almighty. He is the source of satisfaction. He is the one who allows us to live life as we were designed to live. Start here to be satisfied. Start here to truly be satisfied. Let's bow our heads. Overwhelmed by you, Father, overwhelmed by your grace, undeserved grace, completely undeserved grace to be here, to hold your book, to preach your word, to hear your truth, to sense the Holy Spirit renewing minds and changing hearts. Oh God, I pray you will convince us of these truths, not just for a day, but for a lifetime. Lead us, change us. Loved ones, the final application I have for you as we pray to our God right now is, what idol do you need to stare in the face today and say, you got nothing on Jesus? What idol do you need to smash? What idol do you need to set straight in your heart and life and to say, you cannot satisfy me anywhere in what Jesus Christ will do and is doing in my life? What sin do you need to repent of? What love have you given over, have I given over in the world that needs right now to go to the cross of Jesus Christ? He is worthy of our praise. And he is speaking to us. So I pray collectively as a church, we renew our love for him in this moment now. Oh, may it be so. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time on Live in the Light.